Good morning. It is a Monday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the President of the United States, lavishing praise on his supporters amid protest clashes, shooting deaths in Oregon and Wisconsin, says the Washington Post raised the specter that the nation's summer of unrest has entered a new phase. The killing of a man as a caravan of Trump supporters drove through the city reverberated in the campaign. President Trump tweeted that the big backlash going on in Portland cannot be unexpected, a remarkable instance of a president seeming to support the conflict. You have the president and the Portland mayor blaming each other. You have now Joe Biden coming out today in Pittsburgh to make a speech posing the question, are you safe in Donald Trump's America? The fomenting of this conflict grows.
David, the president thinks, I believe, that the only way that he can win this election is to make sure that Americans think that they are in danger from violence. Joe Biden's job as a moderate who has opposed violence and crime for his whole life is supposed to get out there and make sure that everybody knows where he stands on this and where Kamala Harris stands. So he's going to be making speeches. He's going to be traveling, apparently. And he's going to be making the case. Right now, Donald Trump's only hope is to import people in flatbed trucks using paintballs and pepper spray and daring others to get on them. How the word gets out to these people is anybody's guess. But it seems to me it's awfully convenient for this president to be tweeting all night long about violence because the Republicans think the only way they can win this election is to scare the hell out of people. And that is what they're doing right now. It is very disconcerting, that's for sure.
Also disconcerting, police facing complaints, Alan, of tolerating vigilantes. This from the Post. Video recorded shortly before two people were fatally shot last week in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The accused gunman, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17, circulated among a group of gun-wielding men. The police saying over a loudspeaker to this group after handing bottles of water out, some friendly encouragement. We appreciate you guys. We really do. And then this kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, ends up turning himself in after killing.
David, there's nothing you can do about this other than to understand what the politics of this situation are. Obviously, police have been told to behave themselves as much as they can. And so their rhetoric, which is, we appreciate you, we really do, is misplaced, of course, because they shouldn't be appreciating some of these thugs and vandals. Nevertheless, they're saying it because they believe that they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Now, we know that when people sign up to be policemen, generally they're coming from the moderate right to the far right part of the spectrum, and that's what's going on. So there is a natural confluence, and police have to turn around and tell everybody that they're not that way. But of course, in some cases, they are, and that's what the problem is here.
And you've spoken on it so many times, Alan, but the specter of seeing citizens walking in the streets carrying guns, automatic rifles, in this case, Kyle Rittenhouse's gun wasn't registered.
Nor was his brain developed. We do know that when you're a certain age, things might appear to you to be much more logical than they actually are. So you get a kid who is really off balance, and he does something because guns are so available in this country and so present that this kind of thing is going to keep on happening until this country comes to its senses when it comes to weapons. But there is no indication that that's going to happen, because mistakenly, people think that if they have a gun, they can protect themselves, when in fact, most people don't, and there is always a gun around for a kid to pick up, whether there's a trigger guard on it or not, whether there is any kind of prohibition within a family, you know that people are going to find guns. Let there be no question that when you have a gun around, the chances are that that gun is going to be used at some point.
What about guns at the polls? I see in the Washington Post today, Trump suggested sending law enforcement to the polls. Can he do that?
No, I don't think he can. I think he has to be invited in by the governor or the mayor. But he can say, I'm protecting the right to vote under the law, and he will, because he is a breaker of norms. The only way this guy can win, he thinks, is to make sure that people think that they are not safe. And when you send troops in and you send others in, this is part of the rhetoric.
Currently, the U.S. has now passed 6 million coronavirus cases. Alan, the FDA chief, has now signaled a willingness to approve a vaccine before human trials are complete.
Look, the confluence between those people who are doing the medicine and the scientists and the president of the United States is real. We see it now again and again. The people who are in charge are under tremendous pressure at the CDC and every other place for the president to win. He feels he has to open up this country, even though it's not safe to do so in so many ways. And he'll continue to do that. That's the way he is.
There's no bigger sign that it is continuing than college reopening plans crumbling across the country. You see 2,000 campuses trying to reopen this fall, finding that it's nearly impossible. University of Alabama, UNC Chapel Hill, Northeastern, Syracuse, UConn, Oneonta closed for a couple of weeks because of a breakout. Students are not social distancing. They're doing what students do. And, of course, you're seeing this rise. And now we're about to begin the K through 12 school year. What's going to happen there?
David, it's the same everywhere. You can say we're going to open, and then you open, and then somebody gets the COVID, and then you close. What are your choices? Let's put ourselves in the place of a college president right now. You know that the college is going broke. You know you need the money. Your professors are idle. Everybody wants to do something, but you can't. And you can't because that's flying in the face of the COVID outbreak. It's just a hopeless situation until the virus goes away or until we have a vaccine. That's just the way it is.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.